Good morning, Catalyst. How's everybody doing today? Just like every Sunday, I am so excited to be with you today. You may notice that when I'm walking around on stage, I may be walking around like I'm 173 years old. That's because this past week, as many of you know, last fall, I started hiking this trail called the Sheltoe Trace. And due to some family illnesses and some surgery issues for my family, I wasn't able to actually finish the trail when I wanted to. So I took 3 days this week, and I took out about 41 miles of the trail, 18 of those in one day. And fat guys who hike 18 miles in one day have a lot of blisters on their feet. And so I'm a little sore today on the bottoms. Everything else is fine, but the bottoms of my feet are killing me. So if I'm walking around, don't worry, I'm okay. They heal, I'll be fine, but just figured if you thought something was looking kind of funny on stage, it's because, yeah, I'm a big dummy. So, but with that said, I'm so excited to be here today. Dave is actually on vacation this week. He is actually on vacation this week. He and Sam, his son, they are down in Florida this week, and they're going to do some scuba diving together. And if you've been at Catalyst for a long time, you know that discipleship is a big part of what we do here at Catalyst. And discipling your family is one of the most important things you can do. And so I'm so excited that Dave is down there with his son and spending this time just one-on-one with him and actually living out the mission that we set out for everybody in this church. Currently, we're in a series called A Christian That Wins. And we're taking the next few weeks just to simply talk through the book of James. And we're just kind of looking through that in ways that we can live a better life in such a way that Christ is emulated through us and in us. And today, we're going to talk about taming the tongue. Last week, we talked about Christians that act. Basically, what do we do and why do we do it? And I thought Rob did a fantastic job of that last week. This week, it's a Christian that speaks. And our main thing, as Rob already said, is a Christian that wins has an iron-fisted control of their tongue. Now, given the current overly political society that we live in and the madness that we have with social media, this may kind of feel like a foreign concept to a lot of people because today everything's about reaction, reaction, reaction. And so the idea of taming the tongue kind of goes against what we've all been told. And so what I'd like for you to do is go ahead and turn in James to chapter 3 and just hang on there because we're going to be there this entire time today. We're going to be reading through that. Now, since we're talking about words, I want to see if you guys can finish a couple statements for me. The first one is, if you can't say something nice, right, don't say anything at all. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but which is a complete lie. We try and say that's true, but it's not. The basic idea, guys, is words do damage. Words do damage. They hurt. And if we take a look at James chapter 3, we can see kind of an idea of how James explained the ability of the tongue to do some real damage. If you guys will read along, James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. And likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire. Did you notice what James is saying about the tongue? You notice what he was saying? It's a very small part of the body, but it can cause so much damage. I want you to imagine this little cup of water right here. That's you. Okay? And this little eyedropper is just a small amount of the poison that can be put in your body by the tongue. You see how quickly when things get stirred up, suddenly the water is all murky and gross and nasty. Sometimes our words can be dirty and nasty. And the way people see us is not the way we intend. Truth be told, someone who has a loose hold on their tongues tends to have very few real friends, simply because no one wants to hear them spew out all that garbage. There's actually a phrase for this. I like to call it V2. Can you all say it back, V2? Come on now, you guys could say that, right? V2. That stands for verbal vomit. This is a definition. There's a definition for this, too. There's a real definition for this. It's in the John Kelly International Dictionary of Everyday Words, yet to be published. The definition is this. Any word that comes out of the mouth or keyboard that is either wasn't thought out and contains any of the following: slander, foul language, gossip, lies, inappropriate topics, or mean-spirited insults / talking down to someone. Or B, was thought out and contains any of the following: slander, foul language, gossip, lies, inappropriate topics, or mean-spirited insults / talking down to someone. See, V2 is a disease that affects millions of Americans every single day. And today we're going to talk about a cure for this disease, for this thing that has gotten into American society and has become the norm for us. I actually want to share with you three ways that V2 affects the average person and how that affects our ability to minister to other people and be a Christian that wins. The first thing that James says is that the tongue is a rudder on the ship, and basically, the tongue can direct everything else we do. Anybody else in here love the Pirates of the Caribbean movies? You love those movies? I love those movies. I crack up at all of Jack Sparrow's jokes, and I enjoy all the adventures that these guys go on. But the funniest part to me is this love affair that Jack Sparrow has with his ship, the Black Pearl. Right? I mean, somebody always steals it, and he gets it back. Or he has a shipwreck, and he gets it back. Or he dies, and it goes into the afterlife with him, and then he gets it back. But he's just never satisfied until he's at the ship's wheel, because it's then he has control of the direction he's going. Do you feel like that sometimes with your speech? Are you constantly fighting a battle to get control of the way people see you, but what you say gets in the way? See, our tongue is just like that rudder. The tongue will either control us or we will control it. It's crazy to think that the rudder on a ship, as small as it is, can actually guide a huge vessel, but that's exactly what it does. A small steering wheel controls a small rudder that steers a huge ship. The tongue, in spite of its relative size to the body, can run the entire thing. Proverbs 19:10-21 says, "Sin is not ended by multiplying words, but the prudent hold their tongues. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver, but the heart of the wicked is of little value. The lips of the righteous nourish many, but fools die for lack of sense." The way people see you most times can be summed up in what they hear you say. If people only hear negative comments, you're a negative person. If they only hear political rhetoric, you're an overly political person. If they hear angry conversations, you're an angry person. But you know, the opposite's true too. If they hear nothing but kindness from your lips, you're a kind person. If you're constantly bragging on your children, you're probably a really good family man or a family woman. If they hear you talk about what Christ has done in your life, there's a good chance you're a Christian. That's nice, isn't it? See, this also goes on for your online presence. See, one of the unfortunate outcomes of the social media world that we live in today is the keyboard warrior. You guys probably know this person. It's the person who sits behind a keyboard and types scathing comments or backhanded replies, not concerned with the person on the other side. The keyboard warrior takes up every cause they feel is important and belittles anyone who doesn't agree with them or isn't as passionate about what they're passionate about. The keyboard warrior has an opinion, and whether you ask for it or not, you're going to get it. The keyboard warrior doles out verbal punishment, anger, snide remarks, and personal attacks. They always think of themselves first and how they can make themselves greater than those around them. That seems to work in complete opposition to 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. It says, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not honor, dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it's not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. What if online conversations look more like that? What if you got on your Facebook feed and you saw people posting things that were patient and kind? What if our comments weren't boasting or proud? What if we always thought of others first and not ourselves? What if we weren't so quick to get angry and post about it and then keep posting about it? What if we didn't repost inappropriate stuff that other people had already posted? What if we doubled, this is a big one, what if we double checked our most recent post for its validity before posting it, solely on the fact that it backs up something we believe? Are we there to protect others or build up trust? Are we there to show hope? Imagine social media if that's how we interacted with others. What if love was at the center of our thoughts and dripping off the tips of our fingertips to the cyber world? I would probably get back on Facebook again. It'd be incredible. See, the second thing that James says is that the tongue is small but mighty. Basically, the tongue is small, but it's capable of huge, huge things. I want to see if you guys can finish these statements for me. These are from some pretty well-known commercials and some jingles and things like that. But when you think of McDonald's, it's, I'm loving... There you go. That was an easy one. I was giving you a single-syllable word for that one. But here's a candy you guys might enjoy. Break me off a piece of that. There we go. KFC is finger. Skittles, taste the rainbow. Rice Krispie Treats, snap, crackle, and pop. And then Tony the Tiger says that Kellogg's Frosted Flakes are. Some of you actually did it right. I'm proud of you. Now, this one may not be quite as popular, but I'm doing this for my buddy Rob Harlemert. It simply goes like this. O-H! Give one up for the minority. Okay. See, we remember things. We remember things, especially if we hear it over and over and over again, and we can usually repeat it. But David Kibler blows my mind. That guy can watch a movie one time, and at the end of it, he can quote 90% of every line from the movie. I don't know how he does it. He blows my mind with that ability. I've always wanted to be someone with that kind of memory. But I'm not that guy. I'm just not able to do that. However, if something is said to me that really means something, I never forget it. My mother and father had come up to Wisconsin to visit the church I was ministering to back in 2004. I was walking them around the building, showing them the youth worship room that I had at my disposal. I showed them the multipurpose gym / worship area, and we ended up the day in my office. After some small talk, through some light tears, my dad told me how proud he was of me. He told me that I was already doing more for the kingdom than he had in his ministry of over 30 years. I remember being completely speechless. And if you know me, that's a big thing. That day will always be etched into my mind. It's something that I've been able to lean on over the years. When things are going hard, I just remember those words that my dad said. They just meant so much. How many of you guys have something like that etched into your minds? Someone encouraging you in some way or saying something that has continued to push you forward in your life? Do you find yourself leaning on that when things get hard? I mean, they're only words, but man, do they stick with you or what? How many of you have something etched into your mind that's exact opposite? Something said to you that cuts so deep that you can never forget it. Something was said that changed your entire outlook on yourself in such a way that you still struggle with it today. It It's only words, but they really do carry a lot of weight. The most dense element in the world is, I'm going to make sure I pronounce this right, osmium. As a matter of fact, a 1 liter bottle of osmium, if you were to fill up a 1 liter bottle with this metal, it would weigh 50 pounds, which would be the combined weight of both of my children. Okay? My backpack this past week weighed right around 30 pounds. So because of its extreme density, osmium's weight is out of this world. Its melting point is over 5,000 degrees Fahrenheit. It's nearly indestructible. I'm here to tell you the impact of our words can be the same. Those words can be strong enough to build up or strong enough to tear down. There's some serious weight to our words. The third thing that James says about the tongue is it's like a spark that starts a fire. There's this old camp song that we used to sing in days of yore. That's what I call my high school years now. It goes, it only takes a spark to get a fire going, and soon all those around will warm up to its glowing. That's how it is with God's love once you experience it. Of course, as a high schooler, we were singing things like, that's how it is with a house fire, and that's how it is with a gas leak, and things like that. But you get the point. A spark, a little spark will start a fire. Just takes a little spark to actually get a fire started, and it only takes one offhanded comment to start an argument. It only takes a careless word to crush another person. I want you guys to repeat this Japanese word with me real quick. Mokusatsu. Okay, that word carries heavy significance in world history. In July of 1945, the Allied forces came together to write a harshly worded declaration of surrender for Japan. In it was a warning that any negative answer from Japan would invite prompt and utter destruction. Word of this got out, and reporters pressed the Japanese Prime Minister, Kantaro Suzuki, for a response, to which he uttered the word, Mokusatsu. That word was translated by American translators as let's ignore it. 10 days later, an atomic bomb was dropped on Hiroshima, and 3 days after that, Nagasaki. Somewhere between 129,000 and 226,000, mostly civilians, were killed because of a single word. You know, the saddest part of this story is Mokusatsu can also be translated as no comment. Unfortunately, that's not how his words were taken. See, his past transgression spoke in complete opposition to what his intended meaning was. And it's the same thing for us. You may be saying something that you think is being said in a non-threatening or in a kind way, but that's not how it's being translated, because due to your past transgressions, your words may be taken in the opposite direction you intended. A simple one-word comment can leave marriages, friendships, and the workplace in shambles. That one spark may be all that's needed to quite literally destroy everything in sight. So if the tongue is so dangerous and so evil, how should the Christian gain control of the tongue? Well, the first thing I think we need to do is we need to check our heart. Matthew 12:34 says, you brood of vipers, how can you, who are evil, say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Whatever's in your heart, guys, is going to show itself by what comes out of your mouth and what will be typed by your fingertips. And I want to really say, this isn't just about verbal. This is words in general. And what you type is just as important as what you say. Because a lot of times you're more honest in what you type than what you say. So don't lose track of that during this whole thing. Whatever's in the heart is going to show up, whether it's from your mouth or from your fingertips. And until we get our hearts right, our lips will not be able to be controlled. Without thinking, we'll say things that are in opposition to Christ and His way, because we're living in opposition to Christ and His way. You show me someone who hurts others with their words, and I'll show you a person with a heart that needs some work. Next thing we need to understand is the cost. Are the words that are coming out of my mouth worthy of God's time? Are they helpful to others? Ephesians 4:29 says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may be beneficial to those who listen." Are you being fruitful with your words? If you know it's going to start an argument, don't say it. If you know it's going to hurt someone, don't say it. If you know it's nothing more than anger coming from you, don't say it. If there's no win to what you are about to say, just don't say it. Consider the cost. I can promise you, silence is a whole lot better than a harsh word. Silence is a whole lot better than something that's going to cut someone to the bone. And that's why the last thing that we can do is simply use our words wisely. James 1:19, Dave talked about this a couple weeks ago. "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." Don't speak out of a reaction. Consider your words before you say them. Emotion is a great follower, but it is a horrible, horrible leader. Never allow your emotion to direct your comments, whether face-to-face or behind a screen. Very rarely does a well-thought-out comment or complete silence cause the same reaction that an emotional comment will. Always remember that the weight of your comments and what they can cause before you speak. I'm going to ask the band to go ahead and come on back up. Now, earlier I talked to you guys about this water glass over here, and just how our words and the poison that they can cause can be a huge problem for us, and they can murk everything up and make people can't see who you want them to see. Well, I want to tell you, when you allow Christ to pour himself into you, those waters start to clear up. And then as you start to pour back, they become clearer and clearer and clearer. So much so that after a while, there's no more trace of those words that you said before. But I want to tell you something, that as much as this is done, it's still discolored. The reason it's still discolored is because we can't just ask Jesus to pour into us. He's so much bigger and so much greater and so much more awesome than we are. And so what we need to do is we need to pour back into Christ. And when we do that, suddenly we start to see the water becoming clearer and clearer. And when we do that, when we finally pour ourselves into him, it's at that point we can become a light into a very, very dark world. It's at that point that we can be something that in a very dark place can become light. It's at that point when we start using our words in a way that only honors Christ that we will start to see just how impactful we can be. We'll start to see that people will want to hear what you have to say. They won't ignore you when you open your mouth. We should want to pour into Christ. No longer should our words get in the way. No longer will V2 be the natural outpouring of our tongues. Instead, people will hear the words that come from our lips and read the words that come from our fingertips and know the God we serve. How amazing would it be if our witness for this church was made stronger because a bunch of people got an iron-fisted control of their tongue and truly became Christians that win? Would you bow your heads with me? God, we want to thank you for this day. I want to thank you for your son, Jesus, and thank you.